Officially, good morning. I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to another live interactive show, broadcasting confetti live today on Saturday, October the 4th, 2014. I'm located in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and it gives me great pleasure to be here, and I thank you so much for you joining, for those of you that are here live. We've got several people in the live chat room, which is at confettilive.com, and several of you are listening on the telephone. Thank you again for being here. It really means the world to me because I spend so much time talking to myself. And it's good to know that every now and then I'm not alone. So the whole point of the show is to help you move forward as a professional wedding planner, whether you're brand new, whether you're aspiring, whether you've been doing this for a while. There's always something you can learn. I learn something every time I host the show. Taking a quick peek at the chat room, I can see we've got Marissa, good morning, who's in Phoenix. Mona, who's in Waldorf, Maryland. Celebrate Colorfully, that's a nice, I like that name, who's in Dallas, Texas. Good morning. So if you're here and would like folks to know who you are and where you know more about you, feel free to post your URLs and so forth. So I've got a series of questions here that I want to go through and answer. Some of them came through on the listener talkback line. Some of them came through as comments on the weddingsforliving.com website. And some of them actually came through on the Ask Debbie page, which is just a contact form, really, that you can complete and just ask your question. So the idea is that I do the live interactive show on the first Saturday of each month. Last month was a bit of a debacle because we were having power outages in this area. Someone said to me, we didn't have power outages, as though you were suggesting that I would make that up. But no, it was spotty. I lost power twice, I think coming down to three times last Saturday. So I didn't want to get started on the show and then, the power chip out midway. So I think we're on a weird grid on my block. It's funny. The rest of the neighborhood is cool, and then we'll lose power. So anywho, we're here now. And again, I'm happy that you're here. Happy Saturday to you too, Clarissa, Shop Taste Dance. Wonderful to see you here. Okay, I'm going to start with the very first question, which is a call-in question from Louise.
Hello. I am a wedding planner from Europe, and I have a question about the wedding certificate. And I was thinking about the Wedding Planning Academy in UK, and I'm already planning weddings, but I would like to have some kind of certificate just to show the couples that I am into it and this is serious, and just to be more professional in front of them. And I would like to know what you think about them, if you have heard anything of them, if they're great or not. I got a good impression talking to them, but just it would be really nice to hear it from someone like you. I've been listening to your show, and I really appreciate all these advice you give us wedding planners and wedding professionals. So I want to thank you for that also. So that was my question for you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I believe the person that left that message, I believe her name is Louise. So thank you, Louise. I appreciate the kind words. And it always, sometimes the day, you know how it is, some days are just not fantastic. And then I'll get an email or voicemail like that that says, the information you're providing is really helpful and it's a good pick-me-up. So I appreciate Louise saying that. So Louise brings up an interesting question. And it's interesting because I talked about it on a recent episode, an offline episode that I recorded for Confetti. I believe it's Confetti number 374. So if you go to weddingsforliving.com/374, you can hear it. It's about 30 minutes long. And it's this wedding planner certification thing. This comes up a lot. And I don't want to repeat what that whole episode was about, but this wedding planner certification thing, I think, is throwing a lot of us off. We're part of an industry that's not regulated, at least not as I'm speaking right now. So anyone can decide that they're going to be a wedding planner, put up a website, get business cards, and they're in business. Not like, deciding to become an electrician where you need to take courses and training and pass and be certified and so forth, or licensed. Maybe that's the better term for an electrician, right? So I think a lot of us take on this wedding planner certification thing, which is good, because Louise says that the reason she wants to get the certification is because she wants to appear, she thinks it's going to help her with her clients. And the truth of the matter is, in my experience, I've been planning weddings for several years. I've had one client ask about wedding planner certification. And I think when I think back to that conversation, I kind of introduced the idea because I thought I needed to prove myself. So I think, you know, this feeling that wedding planner certification carries so much weight with our clients and potential clients is misguided. I haven't found that to be the case. The people that always seem to ask about wedding planner certification are other wedding planners or people in the industry, not the people who are going to hand over the funds for me to plan their wedding. Interesting, right? So I think what is happening, my opinion, doesn't mean that it's fact, is that we are relying on someone else to say we are qualified and we are worthy of planning weddings. Yes, you need to understand how weddings, what happens at a wedding, how to pull all the different pieces together, how to work with people, clients, vendors, wedding guests, everyone, how to put out fires, hopefully not literally, how to manage a business so that you're making money and not just spending. So all of those things play a part. And I think a lot of us believe that wedding planner certification is going to move us to that level. It's going to make us successful. And that isn't always the case. And it's for the same reason that I stated. It's not regulated. So anybody that has a printer and has the capability to type information can put up a course and say, this is wedding planner certification. Really? Really? Printer, you got a certificate. Who's to say that you are now qualified to plan weddings? So I think we are now waiting for someone else to say, yes, Louise. Yes, Tracy. Yes, Michelle. You are now certified to plan weddings. Listen, if you understand how a wedding works, if you've taken some time to be involved in the planning process, and I think that's way more important than becoming certified. The time and energy spent getting certification, wedding plan, because you know what happens is a lot of us take the wedding planner certification and we sit and we wait. And we're saying, well, I can't move forward because I'm still doing this wedding planner certification, or my class isn't over, or I'm not there yet. So we wait. And then we get the certificate and we say, okay, we're ready. But my experience has been when you get that certificate, you're still not ready. I know because I get the questions. I hear them. So I'm not saying don't become certified. I'm just saying, what is the real reason for this? And if it's for validation, I'm going to go out and own a limb. I'm validating you. It's as simple as that. Because I haven't gone through every single wedding planner certification course out there. I've worked with the Wedding Planning Institute, and what that required of me as an instructor was to come up with a curriculum. Somebody had to approve that. And going through with my students each week, it was a pretty extensive course. I believe at the time, I want to say close to 8 weeks. It would meet a couple of times a week, 8 weeks in a row. And there'd be some theory, there'd be some practical, and I would invite vendors to come and talk to wedding planners, the aspiring wedding planners. So it was a good course, but still at the end, a lot of folks were stuck. So I think, you know, if you can spend some time going out there and investigating the wedding scene in your area, talking to vendors, going to check out all the venues that there are so that you know when someone says, I want to get married, this is our budget, this is the amount of guests we have, you already have a few places in the back of your mind because you know you've been out there. As you're meeting vendors, you interview them because you want to find out what they offer, their style, their pricing, and so forth. And then you say, you know, I'd love to shadow you and come and work a few weddings with you. Let me see what it is that you see. Let me see how things go in your world. I think that carries a lot more weight than taking a class. I don't know if you're doing this in person or sitting online. And if you're doing an online class, then you have to be disciplined enough to be consistent, to get the work done, to get the assignments done. And again, is that really helping you? Because there are three parts. There's understanding what happens at a wedding. So wedding etiquette and what's right, protocol and so forth. Then there's setting up the business, you know, LLC, sole proprietor, bank, you know, business bank account, setting up my accounting system, my forms of payment. And then the other part is the marketing. Now that I've got that set up, how do I get people to come to me? So there were three parts to that. So what my experience has been from what I'm hearing is the wedding planner certification part is getting you through the what happens at a wedding part. But they're falling short on the business part and the marketing. And guess what? Those are the trickiest parts. You can figure out the wedding planning stuff on your own. So that's why I'm not a huge fan right about now of wedding planner certification, because there isn't a governing body that says in order for you to be offer a wedding planner certification course, these elements need to be in place. So Louise, in my usual long-winded way, you asked about the Wedding Planning Academy, right? I'm not familiar with that institution. The only one I know firsthand is the Wedding Planning Institute. There are others. I know we had Kylie Carlson, who's from Australia, but I know there's a course in Australia, and I think it's available here in the U.S. And I've heard good things from different people that have been through Wedding Planner certification, but I've also seen that those same people are not in business years down the line. And I think if you're more involved in doing hands-on planning, getting involved with vendors, some good, not so great, dealing with clients and the nuances of dealing with a client. I mean, think about it. You don't get along with everybody, right? So imagine someone comes along, wants you to plan their wedding. In your gut, you're not really feeling that person, but because you want the client, you go ahead anyway. You're making money, but you're miserable throughout the whole entire planning process. That could derail you. You could decide, hell, I'm not planning any more weddings. I don't want this. This is for the birds. Add to that evenings and weekends. You know, maybe not so bad when there's not a lot going on, but when the summertime's here and the family's on vacation, you got people visiting and you realize that you can't do any of those things because you are working a wedding. Is that cool with you? Is that all okay with you? You can't figure that stuff out doing wedding planner certification course. I think you figure that out going out there. And I think a lot of us are hesitant because we don't know where to start. Thinking about something usually is way more of a problem than actually doing it. You just have to jump in there and get out there. Say, I'm going to go meet vendors. I'm going to go visit the venues. So, you know, Louise, your question was asking about that specific certification course. That company, I don't know. So if someone knows, what was it? Wedding Planner Academy? Let me play it again.
Hello. I am a wedding planner from Europe, and I have a question about the wedding certificate. And I was thinking about the Wedding Planning Academy in UK.
Okay.
Wedding
Planning Academy in the UK. So if any of you in the chat room are familiar with that organization, please have gone through that system. I'd love to hear your thoughts and we can let Louise know. But that's just me going off on a rant right now about this wedding planner certification, because I think it's holding a lot of us back from going out there, talking to vendors, visiting venues, offering to work a wedding or two. That doesn't cost you anything but time. So before you invest $400, $500, $600, $700, $800, $900 on a wedding planner certification course, do some of that stuff. Because when you become a wedding planner, owner operator, meaning you're planning, you're running the business, you're going to have to do those things anyway. So get out of your comfort zone and do those things now and see if this is really for you. When you get into that mode, you start meeting vendors and they start sending business your way, because that's what's going to happen. Then the wedding planner certification thing might be the furthest thing from your mind, because you're getting clients anyway. And you'll soon realize they're not even asking you if you're certified, because clients just want to know that you are competent enough to do what you say you're going to do, that you're going to show up when you say you're going to show up, that you're going to help them get this vision and this wonderful dream of theirs and, you know, put this into fruition so that it's a reality. And if they are convinced that you are the person to do that, they're not asking you about wedding planner certification. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I think we're putting way too much weight on that. Having said that, if you've gone through wedding planner certification, I'm not here to say that was a waste of money. No. I'm just saying if you're waiting for that to move forward, you don't need to do that. You can get out there and do some of this on your own. And you can still do those things in tandem while you're going through wedding planner certification. So that's my thought process there. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And Louise, again, thank you for the great question. If anyone else has been through Wedding Planner Academy, a UK-based company, please share your thoughts. Okay. Just checking here. Okay, we've got some new folks. Just looking at the names of who's here. Tracy's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Tracy. Clarissa's in Georgia, ATL. Nice. Who's in Colorado Springs? Eileen, good morning. super early morning. Marissa's saying, I'd rather spend money on a floral class than wedding planner certification. At least I'd be able to up my game in floral arranging for the future. Yeah, that's hands-on. See, I get that, Marissa. I'm with you. Because that's something that I can utilize. I went to an event last week and I stopped at the florist to get flowers. I almost stopped at the grocery store and just picked up some stuff from the floral department. But I said, no, I go to a proper florist. And I picked out the flowers. I told the woman, I want to spend about $50 on this arrangement. And I watched her pick out the flowers. And it's just amazing to watch this, when someone knows what the heck it is that they're doing. And, I pointed and told her, the age group of the person and what the event was. And I just watched her arrange it. And it's just such a craft to see her do this. I wouldn't even know what to do with those flowers. I mean, they were arranged beautifully. The presentation was awesome. So, Marissa, I'm challenged, but to watch someone do that, if I could do that, I may never plan weddings again. I may just do flowers. So I get that. That makes perfect sense. Let's see. Celebrate Colorfully. I love that name. In love with that name. Says she totally agrees with Marissa. The light's in the way and I can't see the chat. Sorry. She says she has a floral wholesaler here that does a weekend class 6 hours a day on Saturdays for a month. 6 hours a day or Saturdays for a month. I think it's $200. I think that's money well spent, especially if it's an area that you're challenged in. Design, decor. I don't know if I got my start years ago doing balloon decor, which evolved into event planning, which evolved into focus on weddings. So I haven't done anything with balloons. I mean, I have a huge helium tank here because I still have the wholesale arrangement and usually just family and friends. Oh, we've got to blow up balloons for Madison's party. Can we blow them up? And then they come and use up all my helium without paying for it. And, they're gone with it. That's really the way it works. But that's my limited knowledge of design. I can look at something and pull it together, but how to drape and how to do the ceiling treatments, I don't know. So that's on my bucket list to learn how to do. I think that teamed with logistics would be fantastic. I get that. I want to take that class. It's a skill that I'm lacking in. So, you have to decide what do you need, what's going to be beneficial for your business and move, help you move forward and spend some money and time on that. I think it might be money better spent. Okay. Let's see. I'm just reading through the chat here. Good. Eileen's chiming in. She agrees with Marissa. Marissa, what are we congratulating you for? What did you do? Marissa did something because everyone's saying congrats. Is it the class? I thought I needed classes in 3 years. Oh, and then she said she's nominated for Best Wedding Planner in Phoenix. Ah, why don't I have applause sound effects? I'd love to play them now. Yeah, it goes wow. Congratulations. Wonderful. Eileen's saying that offering to spend time with vendors is not only fun, but you learn a lot. And as a bonus, you develop a really nice relationship. Yeah, people, they remember you. They will remember you. That you are the planner that came and did that wedding 2 weeks ago or last year, whenever it was. And you were there. You're not there. You're just there to help out. No compensation. Just there to see what they do. It's reciprocity. People remember that. So when someone comes along that needs your services, you're the first person on their mind. And it's all, you're getting business without even having to look for it. So that's my feeling there with Louise's question about certification. So very good. Good question. Okay. I'm taking too long to answer. I'm sorry. Let's see. Rachel, who I love Rachel's name. Rachel's business name is Confetti Wedding Planning. Liking that a lot. And Rachel wrote in and says, thank you so much for all your help on your website. You've been more informative and practical than anywhere else I have found. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that and I'm happy to hear that. She goes on to say, I'm a recent college grad trying to get into the wedding planning business. I don't have much money to invest into my business, but I try to give a portion of my income back to marketing branding as part of my business plan. I was wondering, how much do you suggest putting into branding at the beginning? And if you have other tips or insights as I start my journey. Thank you so much for your dedication to Wedding Planner's success. Okay, Rachel, thanks again. Confetti Wedding Planning. You got to love that, right? Okay, so good question, Rachel. How much money, what portion of money should go towards branding? And I responded to Rachel very quickly and said, really, it depends. And things have changed in the last few years because, you know, what we have to do now to get attention costs a lot less than what we would have had to have done 3 years ago, even. It's changed. So I'm glad that Rachel has a business plan and lets me know that she's thinking this through. I don't know if I can provide you with a hard and fast amount, but I know that you don't want to ever stop. You know, this is how I worked my business. For example, I get questions sometimes about, you know, salary, getting your money back. For many, many years, there was no money that I got back. Everything was just love. It really was a labor of love going into the business. But I set a threshold. And my threshold was, for me, Debbie, when I had an average of $4,000 to $5,000 in my business account, then I could start drawing money from me. Now, I know Rachel's question was about marketing, but I'm just using that as an example. So all of the time prior to that, pretty much everything that went into my business went right back out. So it went to expenses, anything that, you know, the expenses needed to run the business. And then anything that was left over, I just put it in to getting attention. So that could mean, you know, the website. That could mean, I never did Google AdWords, AdSense. I never did that. But, you know, taking, like, for example, a friend of ours was doing a beauty pageant, and I decided to sponsor. And the sponsorship really was just for people to go to weddings for a living. Want to be a wedding planner? Go to weddings for a living to sign up for your free audio class. I know you know what the audio class is about, but that's how I spent my money. And based on that ad, people would go to the Weddings for a Living site, they sign up for the audio class, and they'd get to hear about me and listen to confetti. And then a few of those other people would convert to wedding business guy. I mean, that was the cycle for me there. As a wedding planner, I had a tips booklet, but I didn't promote the tips booklet. And in hindsight, that's what I should have done, was say, you know, get your free tips booklet or get your free wedding idea kit. But, you know, however you want to get eyes your way, my point is that when you're first starting, everything for me went right back into the business. Everything. It just wasn't making enough money for me to take out a salary. And even if, you know, the thing with weddings, there'll be a period of time where you're kind of just raking it in, that, you know, you're getting calls one behind the other and people are signing up. And then there'd be months where there would be this lull and it's sort of like crickets. So I realized that you have to constantly keep going with the marketing thing. So I don't have a set number, but I mean, there are different ways you can market. A lot of it now, thankfully, doesn't cost us much money. It costs us more time. So, you know, doing the social media thing. I always say social media thing because I'm so challenged with that. But, you know, going out and talking to the local businesses, the different like chambers of commerce kind of events. Or I know they did an event not too long ago in Anacostia, which really was years ago. It was like an area that you really wouldn't think equates to business in D.C., but it's sort of up and coming. It's going through gentrification. And at this event, you had 60 seconds to sort of do this commercial. Something like that is priceless, but you've got to have a giveaway. You've got to have something to entice people. It's not, I'm a planner, I'm a wedding planner, come check out my website. It has to be, you know, I plan weddings for same-sex couples. Please go onto my website, if you know, to get your free report or to get your free audio class or to listen to the talk show, the weekly talk show, go to such and such. You got to give people something to get them there. So those things don't usually cost money. They cost time. But you have to decide what avenues you're going to use for marketing. And what that comes back to is what's special about you. Because if you are just a general wedding planner, you're going to struggle in trying to find clients because everybody else is doing that. That's what all the other wedding planners are doing. So you have to look at it from a bride or groom's perspective and say, well, why should I do business with Debbie? Or why should I do business with Clarissa? Or why should I do business with Eileen? But if Eileen is doing something different, like Eileen plans weddings in 90 days or less, that stands out. May not be what I want, but it stands out. And I can decide if she's for me or not. But then I know my sister who's getting married and her fiance is about to be deployed and they want to get married quickly. Eileen is the person they need to talk to. So I can send Eileen that way. And in return, Eileen can market to military bases. Eileen can, when she's talking to vendors, say that. Eileen can even create a press release and send that to the local media and say, you know, I'm a wedding planner, but what makes me stand out is I can plan a wedding in, you know, 60 days. Heck, I can plan a wedding in 30 days if we have to. That sort of stands out. So that's a way to sort of market yourself without even having to put time and energy. Well, take it back. Without having to put a whole lot of money into it. Just the mere fact that you're doing something separate or different makes you stand out. And it ties in with another question that I'm going to go into in just a moment. So, you know, marketing, again, thankfully, doesn't cost as much. I'm not saying you don't have to spend money to market your business. You do. But the way we do it and the amount we spend now is considerably less. But I think you have to decide what your threshold is, what that percentage is. You know, I'm sure there are statistics out there that I don't have a set guideline. And one of my the things that I do that is not good, I'll see something. I have this bright and shiny object syndrome. So I'll see something and think, oh my gosh, I need that. Oh my gosh, that's going to help me, that plugin. Okay, I'm going to buy that. And then, you know, it's just sort of like sitting there. It's like sort of like buying new clothes and they're still on the hanger a year later. So, you know, I started writing a wish list of things that I wanted so that when the influx of money came in, then I can pick and choose from my wish list. Kind of like on Amazon, when you have a wish list, you choose what you want. More times than not, within a month or so, I realized I didn't need half of the stuff that was on that wish list. So it let me know that sometimes you have to think things through and decide what you need for your business. And when it comes to marketing, you know, what's really going to be beneficial for you, and to save money when it comes to marketing, if you narrow down what you do to a specialty, your wedding planning, that is, to a certain area or sort of certain demographic or a certain style of wedding, I think you're going to see that it's going to be more effective and you are going to spend way less. So I'm curious, I don't know how you are marketing, what percentage, if you have a certain percentage that you assign to your wedding planning business. I didn't really do that for mine. I don't. I just decide that, you know, when I see something, I think it's great, I kind of review it. Is that going to be a fit for me? And then I usually sit on it for a few days to make sure that it's going to be beneficial. And usually when I revisit it, sometimes it works out, but oftentimes, not so much. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. Okay, Rachel, I hope that answers your question. I want to move right into the next question that I got from Kinshola, who is from Nigeria. I love it. I get messages and questions from all over the globe. Isn't that wonderful? And Kinshola says that he's a new wedding planner, and he wants to know, he's got his first gig. Okay, let me just read it. I don't know why I'm trying to paraphrase. Hello. I'm Kinshola by name from Nigeria. I'm a new wedding planner. Have been following you for some time. You are my mentor. Love your audio lessons. Thank you. And have learned a lot. He goes on to say, my first job is coming up in December. Please, I'd like to know how I can stand out. So I wrote back and asked Kinshola, when you say how can you stand out, are you asking me how can you stand out at this event or how can you stand out in general? And the reply was kind of both. So how to stand out, I kind of just tied into that. I believe single-handedly, just by specializing in our industry, in so many industries now, that if you specialize, that people pay attention. Think about the food trucks. Food trucks are front and center. I don't know if they're still kind of hit their peak. I don't know if they're kind of trending down. But each food truck is its own specialty. You know, food trucks years ago, when I lived in New York, it was sort of like, I don't know, I'm about to make a date with the devil because I'm hungry. I got to get food, but I don't know if my stomach's going to hold out before I get off the subway and get home, because some of that food was kind of dicey. But food trucks have taken on a whole different persona now, right? You've got dessert food trucks, all kind of ethnic food food trucks. It varies. So in each one of them has their own niche and they each have their own following. Think of your wedding business in the same way. You know, we're all different. We all bring something different to the table. We all have different passions and loves. And if you can hold on to that and find an audience that is equally passionate and desires the same things, guess what? You've got a recipe for success right there. But we are also counterintuitive because we think, it's a counterintuitive thought because we think if we limit ourselves, we're going to limit business. You are going to limit business, but you're going to get the business you want. And in the end, you make more money. You really do, because you're attracting a certain kind of client, which means you're happy you're doing those kind of weddings. And you become an expert instantly in that niche, in that specialty. And just by the mere fact that you're a specialist, you can command more money than the wedding planner who's planning every wedding on the face of the earth, or says that they will plan every wedding on the face of the earth. So in my mind, that's how you can stand out. At the event, itself, well, a lot of it comes down to before, because so many wedding planners don't do a great job of planning weddings. I'm sorry to say, it's the truth. If you just do the basics, meaning you show up on time when you say you're going to show up, you have a plan, meaning you have a system of the way that you plan the weddings. If you show up dressed appropriately, if you're pleasant, sort of like check that ego, very little attitude, you're standing out miles ahead of many of the other wedding planners out there. Because a lot of us say we like weddings, but we forget that it's such a personal service. You're interacting very closely with someone else. And personalities don't always mix. Sometimes there's a clash. And you do have to check your ego, because your clients are going to say stuff that you're not happy about. You're going to have vendors that don't say that aren't going to do what they say they're going to do, or go MIA. And you, through all of it, just kind of have to deal with it and forget that personality, that person within, and put that business persona out there. So if you can do that, Kinshola, you're already standing out. On the day of the wedding, again, same thing, showing up on time, dressed appropriately, following a system, those things will help you stand out. Your vendors are going to pay attention, your clients are going to pay attention, and the wedding guests are going to pay attention. If that wedding is flowing through at the right pace, and you know there aren't a whole lot of dead spots, and you're not looking like a crazed man running all over the place, things are going to go wrong. But if you can sort of maintain level calm, if you've got a team of people with you that you have trained, the key part is that you have trained and instructed them and told them what you want them to do, you are standing out. A lot of us wedding planners don't even have that in place. Scary, but true. So doing just that, I think you're going to stand out. So any questions and any feedback on that, please feel free to share that in the chat room. So I hope that helps. Okay, and let's see. Michelle is saying, Marissa says, create an elevator pitch to capture their attention. Yes. I asked a guy the other day, he's setting up a business. I said, hello, what's your elevator pitch? And he says, what do you mean by that? I thought everyone knows what an elevator pitch is, but I mustn't assume. So the idea is that you're in an elevator with someone of significance, someone who you really would really want to be in front of with regard to your business. And they ask, what do you do? And you reply with your elevator pitch. So it's something that you say that lets the person know what it is that you do, but you do it in such a compelling way that their reaction is that they want to know more, whether it's because they're interested in it or whether it's because it's just an interesting factor and they want to be able to, you know, share what it is that you do. So that's your elevator pitch. And the idea is that you practice that so that it rolls off your tongue just as easily as your name and address. It's something that you can say instantly when someone says, what do you do? So that's a great way to sort of move forward. Marissa, you might have been responding to something else, but I noticed you said that, and it was a really good point. Michelle says, you mentioned earlier to connect with venues and vendors with possibly shadowing them. I've reached out to some places and they say they would follow up. I follow up, but no response. What would you suggest doing differently? Michelle, I'm not quite sure how you're approaching them. I've never had that issue. The thing is, it's sort of like how you, and I don't know how you're saying it, but this is what I do. So I'll go out, I'll research a few places that I want to check out. Not necessarily, the venues might be a little harder to do, but a vendor, read about this person, check them out. Phone's ringing. I didn't switch it off. And contact them and say, hi, I'm Debbie. I, you know, want to learn more about your business. I'm in the wedding industry and I want to learn more about what you do so that I can refer my clients to you. That's usually how I position it. No one in business doesn't, I said that sentence incorrectly. Anyone in their right mind in business will not turn down an opportunity to receive more business. So by saying, you know, not I'm a wedding planner, I'm new in the industry. I'm in the wedding planning industry. I want to learn more about what it is that you do so that I can send my clients your way. Set up a time, we meet. And we have this meeting, and it really isn't about me. It's about them. I'm asking them all kinds of questions, not just about their pricing and their product, but, you know, how did you get started? What made you want to do this? How many years have you been doing this? Do you do it full time? Are you still enjoying it? Is it as much fun for you now as it was then? Because I'm a talker, right? I'm just trying to get to know the person. And just forget that this is a business meeting. This is the same conversation you would have if you were at a social event and someone said, I'm a photographer. And you're just trying to start, you just ask questions. And then at the end, you want to thank, you know, you set up a time to do this meeting. You have the meeting. I switch off my phone, usually even in the car. I'm always leaving the phone in the car. But my point is that it's sort of that be here now. I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on them. Now, they may not extend the same courtesy to me. They may be running a business, maybe taking calls on their phone, on the iPad, whatever. I'm not doing that. They're getting my undivided attention. At the end of the meeting, I'll say, great, thank you so much. Oftentimes I want to sort of extend it. I'll say, you know, my time's up. I don't want to keep you. And I say, no, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm enjoying this. Taking notes as I go. And at the end, I'll say, you know, thanks so much. I really had a great time meeting with you. You know, I'm in the area. I plan weddings. My specialty is working, you know, doing day of. So I don't really do the full service thing. But if someone is going through the wedding planning process and they're coming down to the end, or they've gotten halfway through and it seems like they're stuck or they're overwhelmed, that's where I come in. So that's what I do. Here's my card. But thanks again. And that's it. There's a very, very small portion about me. At the end of that meeting, then I send them a thank you card. Someone mentioned, I think it was Sean in a show a few years ago, saying sending them the wedding idea kit sort of vendor version, which would be cool too. But I haven't done that. I'll send them a thank you note. And then after the thank you note, after they've received that, I'll call maybe a week or two later and say, hey, Debbie again, we met a couple of weeks ago. Now, this is if the meeting went well, if I really like the vendor. And I'll say, I had a great time meeting you. And what I found in the past is that getting to understand what you do and making sure that I'm sending the right clients is it possible I could just shadow you? You have an upcoming wedding that you're working on. I'll come. Promise I won't get in the way. But just think of it this way. You'll have an extra pair of hands that you don't have to pay for. I just would love to do that. So let me know a date and time that works for you. I haven't had anyone turn me down for that. Now, they may say they get back to me, but then I'll come back and say, you know, still here. If you get stuck or you're shorthanded, and sometimes I'll say it that way. If you're shorthanded, you need an extra pair of hands, call me. Either I can come or I can't, but I'll let you know right then and there if we can do that, okay? And then that's it. And in doing so, I've had a chance to shadow a lot of different vendors. So now, not every vendor gets that treatment. I call it special treatment because if I meet with them and I find they're not, they're kind of, if your gut instinct tells you no about a vendor, move on, follow that gut instinct. But if you're getting a good vibe or you just want to learn more, then that's what I do. And usually there isn't any pushback from that, but that's how I position it. It's not very, you know, oh, I'd like to shadow you. I'm not doing it in that business format. It's sort of like just two friends. You need my help. I'm here. You know, it's just, this is what I do. I want to send people your way. Let me understand what it is that you do. I'm here to help. And that's it. I kind of leave it in their ball, in their domain. Now, will everybody get back to you? No. And you don't let that deter you. You know, when you become a business owner, you have to get used to rejection. It's not like we pick and choose in our personal lives. And even then, sometimes you get rejected. Ask me how I know that. Anyhow, you have to get used to that. And what it does is it develops that that thicker skin, hopefully not literally. But you have to get and sometimes it's not rejection. Sometimes it's their thing. You also have to realize sometimes an issue is not your issue. It's that person's issue. And once I started saying that to myself, I was home free. I don't know. That's them. I'm great without trying to sound conceited. I'm great. They're missing out on an opportunity. Whatever. But still, if I thought they were great and I think they could help me for another business, you know, they would be great for another client, I'm still going to sync them up because you have to give to receive. Not everything is about what you can get. If they're still great at what they do, you like their prices, you like their style, and you get a client, or sometimes not even a client, someone who's just asking you, picking your brain, I'll say, oh, I know the right person. Let me call this guy. And it may be the same guy that didn't respond and didn't allow me to do the shadow, but I'm going to call and say, this person is interested in such and such. This is the wedding day. I'm going to hook the two of you up. Okay. Expect a call, expect an email. Because I want him to know I'm still looking out for him because I want to be top of mind. And that's kind of how the relationships go. The beautiful thing is the more weddings you plan, you'll have your favorite people that you go back to over and over and over again. So this becomes less of an issue and you become way more confident in what you do. So that when someone doesn't respond or react in the way that you had hoped, it's sort of like water off a duck's back. It's like, okay, next. And that's how it is. And the only reason I'm saying and able to say what I'm saying in this way is for years of being rejected and years of not getting the response I'd hoped for. You kind of get over it. You have to get over it. And if you can't get over it, sorry to say, being a business owner is going to be a struggle for you. It's just the way it is. We all buy at different times. We all are attracted to different people for different reasons. Sometimes there's no connection. You know, I'm not really a cat lover. Oh my God, my friend asked me to watch her cat a few years ago. Disaster. But I'm not really, it's just not me. I don't reject him, but it's just not me. I'm just not a cat person. You may well be. So we may be talking back and forth and we don't connect. And then I mentioned I had to take my cat to the vet. That might be it for you. Right then and there. Yes, connection. That's how it is in life. So again, just sort of move on from it. And just check yourself. Make sure you're kind of doing that. You know, would I be interested in me based on that? Do a few, you know, role play. Talk to a friend or a family member who's going to be honest with you, brutally honest. That's part of being a business owner. And, you know, run something by them and see how they take that. Or if you find a vendor that you got a good response from, a good reaction from, ask them what was it about you that appealed to them, because you're trying to do the same thing with others. And always, always, when you find a good vendor, ask them who else you should speak to, because good vendors stick together. Good people stick together. Good people know good people. So always ask them, who else should you be communicating with? All right. I hope that helps. Marissa says, never say you're new. It's the kiss of death. You don't like you're serious about being a planet. Yeah, you can kind of bury that. You kind of just, you know, you don't need to mention it. We sometimes feel, and I know this because I have verbal diarrhea sometimes, you just say too much. You don't need to say all of that. They don't need to know all that. You got clients. They got a business. You want to get them together. That's it. Whether you've been planning weddings since, you know, Victorian era, or you just started planning weddings last week, you just get to what the issue is. You know, they don't need the backstory. That'll come. That'll come. Okay. Cheryl is saying, well, guest 878. My name is Cheryl. Can you give me some advice on how to find a mentor? I've been trying to connect with planners and they volunteer to help, but they don't follow through at times. I know that most of them are busy, but it will be nice if they will be upfront and let me know that it's not possible. Cheryl, that's a good question. We did an episode on that. I'm trying to find it for you now. Or if somebody wants to be kind enough and just search for mentor on Weddings for a Living, you'll see it. Tell me why you want a mentor. I'm curious to hear. Just type and tell me why you want a mentor. Virginia, good morning, is saying, I'm new to the site and I'm finding the information very helpful. Thank you. I'm glad you're finding it helpful, Virginia. Thank you so much for saying so, the feedback. So Cheryl, let me know, why you want a mentor, and then we'll get to that. I have another question that came in on the talkback line. Just checking the time here.
Hi, baby. My name is Kathleen Joseph, and my business name is Delicate Ambiance. And I love your information. And I went to school in 2008, and I have always been working, and now I'm unemployed, and I really, really want to do something about it, because I really have a passion for weddings, and I have a passion for decorations, and I've done a lot already. I've done my cards, and while I was doing my cards, something came to mind about the magnet door, the car magnet door, and I was wondering, do you know any wedding planners that really advertise like this with that? Because I don't want to look cheesy. And I really, really appreciate if you can give me any idea regarding the card or magnets. And I'm trying to advertise online with my website. And I am now trying to get a blog going on. And it'll be appreciated if you can let me know if I can make the magnet door into advertise like this. Just put it in my car, and wherever I go, I can, people can see that I'm a wedding planner. But I don't really see that around here. And I'm living in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I'm doing my research to find out about my competitions and what people are doing there. It will be appreciated if you can give me any your insights about the card or magnets to advertise for a Delicate Ambiance. Thank you so much, Debbie, and I love your show. I love your information, and I'm following you. Bye-bye.
Cool. Kathleen, thank you. It was a good question. Did you hear that? Excuse me. So Kathleen's in West Palm Beach. I'd like to be there right now. Really would like to be there right now. And she is a wedding planner. She says she's currently unemployed right now. I hope that changes soon, Kathleen, whether it's with another job or with your wedding business. And she's asking about car magnets. And she says she hasn't seen, she's doing her due diligence. She's checked out the competition in her area. She hasn't seen any wedding planners doing that. And she says she doesn't want to look cheesy. So I like that idea. I really do. A few years ago, I saw somebody that had the magnet on the side of their car. It wasn't specifically for weddings. It was for event decor. I thought it was very cool. I almost missed the light because I was trying to read the information and, you know, the car behind me was like, wait a second, mate. I'm trying to get this information here. But I like the idea of the car magnets. You know, the thing, she's saying she hasn't seen anyone else doing it. So the beautiful thing about, you know, running a business is that you can take ideas from other industries and apply it to yours. I've seen realtors do that. I like the idea of the car magnet. My only concern with the car magnet is the background of the magnet has to match the color of the car. Because I don't want to see a black car with a white magnet or a white car with a black magnet. I kind of like it to blend in there. I like that concept. I like the concept. And Kathleen, I think just because the other wedding planners aren't doing it, you sometimes it just takes one person to get it going, which might be the sort of the catalyst to getting it started. So what are you going to put on this car magnet, though? I mean, it needs to be something short and catchy because we don't have time. Like I said, I almost missed the light last time. And I don't know what kind of weddings that Kathleen is planning, but there has to be, you know, something that's going to attract attention and get people to be able to either memorize quickly or, you know, whether it's a catchy website name or domain name or a number that's easy to remember and, you know, why they should contact her. So I like the idea, Kathleen, just because a lot of times we do that, because we don't see everyone else doing it, we think we shouldn't do it. I think if that's a great reason to give it a go. Car magnets are not expensive. I've researched that for other things. So maybe something to consider. I like the idea. What do you think? I mean, what do you think about the car magnets? Let's see. Celebrate colorfully. Personal opinion alert. If you are advertising your small business on your car, make sure you're an awesome driver. I always get so frustrated with people who promote their small business and cut you off in traffic and driving like a maniac. Bow my head in shame. A couple of times, a select finger on my hand has gone up. So imagine that with a car magnet. That's a really good point. So man, that's an excellent point. So make sure you're a decent driver, not an aggressive driver, and keep that finger down. That's a really good point. But I think, you sort of come on, when you start planning weddings, right, to the point where you become the local expert, like you're hosting events, you've got a column in the local newspaper, but, you know, that's really cool. If you can get a local Ask Kathleen or Ask Marissa or Ask Michelle or Ask Virginia, Ask Cheryl wedding question, Ask the Wedding Planner in the paper, that's really good thing. So you become this local expert. You almost have to check yourself and be careful because your picture's out there. People know who you are. So you really have to make sure that you're carrying yourself in a professional way. And I've curbed some of my behavior. I mean, not that I'm a rebel or anything, but just certain things I have to think about what I'm saying, what I'm doing. Even online, there are certain things I might think or see, but I don't react to because that stuff is there, especially online, is there forever. But people are paying attention to you. So that's an excellent, excellent point. If you got a car magnet, just make sure you're driving responsibly and that, you know, the car is in good condition, looking clean and everything. So that's a really good point. But I like that idea. And anything, I think, when you're promoting your business offline, because we all seem to be caught up online, when you're promoting offline, I think it's good to have something as a giveaway. I'm going to give you this because you want to give people an incentive, not just call me, but call to get this, call to listen to my show, or call, you know, go to this website to get your free report or your free guide or your free wedding idea kit. Oh my gosh, I said I was going to do a video about that. I just remembered. But I think that's a good way to get people to sort of check you out. And just realize too, you can have your main website, like, you know, what's the company that I like? CelebrateColorfully.com. Let's say that's your website. But maybe you have a mini site, which is all about, you know, which has a free report. It might be, you know, let's say you're located. Kathleen says she's in West Palm Beach. So it might be, well, that's actually not going to be a very good domain. But just to give you an idea, WestPalmBeachWeddings.info. WestPalmBeachWeddings.info. That website could take you to a place that only has this free report. And it's all about the best places to maybe host your wedding in West Palm Beach, some of the top vendors or some of the great places to take your wedding photos, meaning sort of like the outdoor, the local landmarks and so forth. And what that does is people will give you their email address, and maybe you'll ask when they're getting married and their first name. And you're collecting information. That's just your website. And then as you collect, once you've got their email, then you can promote Celebrate Colorfully kind of thing. So when you're advertising offline, you can get another domain name and either have it direct to a portion of your, a special page on your website, or you can build a separate site, which is the mini site. It might just be a one pager, which is only, the only purpose is for people to enter that information. And if the only place you advertise that domain name is on your car magnet, like in Ketlin's case, you'll know how effective that magnet is, because the only people finding it, or primarily the people finding it, knowing that domain name is from your car magnet. You don't advertise that name anywhere else, but just on your car magnet. And it could be a business card. It could be a postcard. It could be a flyer. So by doing that, you've kind of set up your own sort of analytics to see how effective that method of advertising is. So, but Ketlin, I love that concept. Don't be afraid to try something new, especially if it isn't expensive. And, you know, my threshold usually is if it's under $100, definitely if it's under 50, I'm giving it a go. And if it's under 100, I'm probably going to give it a go too. Let me just see how long it's going to take for me to get that back. But I'm talking about just stuff that I'm not really familiar with, I'm not really sure about. And then, you know, if once you have a threshold, whatever it is, then you can determine, okay, if it's more than $200, I'm not even, you know, I've got to make sure I've got enough supporting information, enough reviews, I know about it. But if it's a smaller amount, you know, set whatever that threshold is. It might be $25 for you. You can get business cards for that. That's next to nothing. So decide what that is for your business and give things a try. You can spend that in a day or two on lunch and dinner if you dine out. So you have to decide, you know, I'm going to give this a go and put this towards my business, or I'm going to give this a go and I'm going to give this a go to put this toward my business, or I'm just going to forsake my business. I'm just going to have lunch and dinner out. You know, I'm going to dine out today. That's how I justify a lot of what I do for my business. Can I go a day or two? I don't eat out that much anyway. But you have to decide for your business what you're going to, you know, what you're going to sacrifice. That's what I was looking for. Sorry. In order to get where you're going. A lot of us want everything to happen instantly. We want everything to be, we don't want to pay for a lot of things. Certain things you're going to have to invest in for your business. You're just going to have to do that. So be willing to give those things a go. All right. That was the only online question. Let me see what other questions we've got here. One second. I wanted to look, see here. Robin wrote in, and she says, I want to thank you for all of your help in getting my wedding planning business started. Yay. You've helped me so much, and I appreciate all that you do for all of us out there. This is from Robin, and her business name is Mother of the Bride Designs. I love that. So I had to say that because I just love that name. It's always interesting to see the name that you've come up with your business. I love it. Michelle asked a question. And she says, I don't know if it's the same Michelle that's here. I love all the great information and advice that you provide to both newly engaged, those planning, hoping to one day be married. Have you ever considered offering classes to earn a certificate, schooling for us newbie wedding planners? Michelle, good question. So you know my thoughts about certification for wedding planners. Yeah, I've definitely considered doing something for newbies. So I'm working on that, and you'll hear about it soon. I'll leave it at that. I don't know if I want to call it wedding planner certification. Again, it just, I don't know. It is what it is. But yes, definitely working on something there. So Cheryl, I think it was, right, that asked about the mentor thing. And I asked Cheryl to write why she wanted a mentor. And she says, I would like a mentor because I am new to the business. I would like to learn as much as I can in order to provide my clients with what they want. I'm currently doing a wedding planning course. I think that it's important for me to get hands-on training and also have all my ducks in a row before I start introducing clients to my business, Cheryl. Okay. Okay, good. I get that, definitely. Don't wait to start introducing clients to your business. Whatever you do, don't wait. Just take a leap of faith and start introducing them to your business. A mentor is someone who is going to help you move your wedding business along. And I think what's going on here is because we're in the wedding planning industry, we're trying to contact wedding plans, which makes sense. But if you really want a wedding planner to be your mentor, Cheryl, my suggestion is maybe to look outside of your local area. Someone doesn't have to be physically present in order for them to mentor you. So I would suggest reaching out to a wedding planner across the country, maybe in another country. And also make sure, you know, let them know what you expect. Are you expecting them to devote a certain amount of time each week? Do you want them to email? Are you hoping to do phone calls? What is it that you're looking for in a mentor? Because it's a very broad term. And it's someone who's going to provide guidance. Now, you have to be ready and willing to commit to that. Is there going to be a schedule of time? Are you someone who can actually take advice? Sometimes the constructive criticism, because sometimes the information you hear is not what you think you want to hear. Sometimes that person may give you advice that you don't think is the right thing to do. So just imagine, you know, I'm mentoring you and I suggest you go out and meet 3 vendors before the month is up. At the end of the month, we talk again and I say, you know, how many vendors did you meet? You say, well, I haven't had a chance to do any of that, da, 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 for whatever reason. And you may, in your mind, have a legitimate reason. But now, in my mind, as the mentor, you've just wasted a whole lot of my time. You've reached out, you've put your hand up, you said you want a mentor, I've suggested some things for you to do, you haven't even given it a go. So I'm not suggesting that that's how it would be. Cheryl, I'm just saying, just make sure you're ready for that and be ready to suggest to them what it is that you're looking for. Not, I'm just looking for a mentor. I just need someone who I can communicate with maybe once a month, or someone I can communicate twice a month via Skype or via email if I have a few questions, or one question a month. And you can have more than one mentor. It doesn't have to be that one individual. Again, it's hard to find someone in your area because wedding planning is not an industry that's going to make us all millionaires. Yeah, I haven't figured that out. As soon as I figure that out, I'm going to let you know. But sometimes you may have to break it up a little bit. And your mentor doesn't have to be in the wedding planning industry, actually. In fact, you may be well served to have someone who's not even in the wedding planning industry. Someone who's successful, or in your eyes is successful in another industry, can be a great mentor for you because they can give you ideas that maybe us in the wedding industry aren't even seeing, because you get tunnel vision after a while. So, you know, when I started my business, I got what I called an advisory committee together, which was really just George, who's my accountant. Who else was there? I forgot that woman's name. She's not in the area now, but she does real estate. I asked Joe. He couldn't do it. But there were a few people I got together and explained to them. This is when I was just getting my commercial space to set up down the aisle, my wedding business. And I ordered in lunch and we sat down. Dinner. We sat down. We were eating. We had dinner, but the whole purpose of the meeting was for me to let them know what it is that I wanted to do and to get their advice and what they thought. And George is so difficult. Accountants just never see the design and creativity, which is weddings. Everything is money, 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 money. But I digress. But anyway, having those people around was an eye-opener for me because it made me think about things that I hadn't considered and some ideas that I thought were really great. Like he said to me, you're paying too much for this place. That's where I was renting. And I'd already signed the lease. It was a done deal. And I was like, why is he telling me? But he was right. He really was right because I was paying rent. I had to pay utilities. I didn't realize I had to pay maintenance for the grounds outside. Oh my gosh. But really, that was a meeting I should have had before I rented the place. But my point is, those people were, in essence, mentors for me because they had my best interest at heart, but were still upfront enough to tell me, you know, I got the bad and I got the good. I needed to hear that. At the time, I didn't want to hear some of that bad stuff. I was actually ticked off about some of the stuff that I heard. I needed to hear it, though, because they were removed from the situation. They didn't have an interest in the business, but they had my best interest in heart. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I get that now. So sometimes we have to rethink the mentor thing, what we believe or how we approach what a mentor is, what a mentor does. And you may have to explain to that person what it is that you're looking for. Because I get people saying, I want you to be my mentor. And I'm thinking, I don't have time. What are you asking me for? But if someone says, you know, could we commit to maybe a 20-minute phone call once a month? I could consider that. I would really consider that. Oh, gosh. Let me get an influx of emails. But that's something that you, the person that wants looking for the mentor, can present. And it's not as scary to that individual. So, you know, sometimes you have to lay the foundation and explain what your understanding of a mentor is. And again, it may not have to be someone in the wedding industry. If it is someone in the wedding industry, look to someone outside. Rebecca Price, who I don't think is actually doing weddings right now because I can't find her site anywhere. See what I mean? I had her on the show a few years ago, and she said she has two mentors. One was actually, I think, in Australia, and the other person was here in the United States. No competition. And that person was happy to give her the information that she needed. So, you know, that would be my advice with regard to mentors. There is a confetti episode. Did anyone find it? Sorry to give you my work to do. But there is a confetti episode about finding a mentor. Just search for mentor and it will come up. Cheryl, I don't know if that helps you. It is Cheryl, right? I think that's what you told me your name was. Guess 878. I hope that is. I hope that helps. But yeah. I think we are a lot more capable. It's just past 11, so I know I've got to wrap up. We're a lot more capable than we believe we are. We're scared. That's okay, because if we weren't scared, it would mean that we're not going through change. There has to be discomfort for change to come. It has to, because if there's no discomfort, you're not growing. It's just like you're going to make new friends and you're going to shed some old friends. If you're not getting rid of friends that you've met in the past few years, you're not growing. It's just a part of what we do. I'm here to help as best I can, but you getting information and absorbing that is of no use to you if you don't take action. And you do have to do some things that are going to make you feel a little uncomfortable. But again, thinking about it is way worse than actually doing it. Get out there, get rejected a few times. That's okay. It's going to make you a stronger person. I'm not just saying that just for artsy fartsy feel good stuff. It's the truth. It's going to make you a stronger person. Do something that makes you feel, that takes you out of your comfort zone with this wedding thing. Contact Preston Bailey's office. Oh my gosh, he's going to kill me. I contacted Preston Bailey when I was living in New York. He called me back. I about fell out of my chair that night. He called me back and we had a conversation. I sat down and talked with Diane Valentine when she had just done Layla Rashawn's wedding. Reach out to those people. You may not get a response now, but it just lets you, you've taken the path of making the effort. And be specific about what it is that you're looking for instead of general. You don't have to validate why. Well, yeah, I mean, validate who you are. But I think you're way more capable of doing some of these things if we would just get up and just get out there. We provide an offline service. You have to get out there. And if you sit down at your computer or in your laptop or on your iPad and try to run this business that way, it's going to be a problem for you. You got to get out. The people got to know who you are, meet you, see that you know what it is that you're talking about. Take a few classes and explain why you're taking the class. I'm a wedding planner, but I don't know enough about flowers, so I want to take this floral design course. That's interesting. People want to know about that. You never know where that's going to take you. Reach out to the community college. If they're not doing a wedding planning course, say, I'd like to encourage us to do a wedding planner course to get people involved in weddings around here. Or maybe we can do a non-credit course for someone who's planning a wedding in this area with some tips and tricks. It's not always about the money. It's just getting out there and just doing something. Once you do it once, it becomes easier and easier and easier and easier. Kathleen says she's starting a blog. Just get going. Just get going with a blog and start writing about taking pictures. I mean, everyone's, you know, taking photos on their smartphone now. I took my camera out to the event I was telling you about last week. People are like, oh my gosh, she has a real camera. Because everybody else is using the smartphone. Go out there and just get involved in this wedding thing. Don't think so much about what I'm going to do or my contract. You'll get there. But once you're involved and you're immersed in it, things begin to happen. The passion begins to take over and then the business stuff sort of kicks in after. Okay. Michelle, wonderful, beautiful. Episode 211, is that the one about finding a mentor? Yeah, that might help you. So I hope that helps. You know what? Excuse me. Been talking for a long time. It's a little after 11, and it's tough to get everyone's information, questions answered. But I'm going to wrap it up today. Guest 878. If there is anyone you can refer me to, I will appreciate it. I'm in Atlanta. To find a mentor, there's no one I would be willing to refer you to. Sorry. But, you know, go out there and see who you like, what's the style of someone you like, or maybe someone that can the complete opposite style of what you like. So let's say you like vintage weddings. This person does very clean, modern style weddings. Maybe that's the person that you talk to. That music's too loud. sometimes it overwhelms me. But you know, just kind of get out there. Just let me know what you find out. I would really, you know, I'm curious to see how that works out for you. But just give it a go. Just give it a go. You said you'll be visiting vendors in a couple of weeks and in the process of getting your questions together. Good girl. You can do this. You can do this. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me. I'm Debbie Quain. The next live show should be the first Saturday in November, which I haven't posted. Wedding Business Guide members, we're getting ready to kick off our session of live classes. I posted October 7th as the first day, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to bump that. There's a death in not family, a close friend, and I think that's going to kind of mess things up for this coming week. So I will keep you posted. But as always, lots of love and success. Go out there, take action, get out of your comfort zone. That's where the magic happens. Take care.